Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here this evening. And I want to remind you, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, not only can you find out more about us and the program, you can also find links to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, as well as you can listen to some of our past programs and things there as well, all at livewithpastoral.com. All right, and let's go ahead and pray right at this point, and then we'll get into a couple other things. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray to bless the program, use it for your glory. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ in all that we do. Help us to point believers, or help believers in their walk with you, point people that are searching to find Christ as their Lord and Savior. And just again, in all things that we do, help us again to lift up and glorify Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, good to be with you tonight. As I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to mention a couple of things that we've got going on. We've had some good Bible studies lately, and we had a lot of fun in our last one. I tell people, especially people who are new to the Bible study, that sometimes we'll take one topic and we'll talk about it for the entire time. We meet every Friday night from 7 o'clock until 9. And I said, sometimes we'll just go through one topic the entire night. Sometimes it'll be mostly just a pure Bible study, a theological or a biblical topic. Sometimes it'll be a review of current events or some particular current event in light of what the Bible might say about it, kind of like we do here on the radio program. And this Friday night, I was saying something that we had a new guy, and it seemed like we covered, I don't know how many topics we covered Friday night. We went through about a dozen topics. We had some, we had everything, and we talked about everything from, I think one point we were talking about the speed of light. It felt like we were going at the speed of light. We were talking about a variety of Bible topics, current events in light of God's Word. Had a great time. And so it's no telling what we'll get into sometimes on Friday nights. Also, want to let you know that our program, our radio program from last Friday afternoon, if you didn't get a chance to hear it, of course, we're on every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock with Live with Pastor Al every Friday afternoon right here on AM 1220, The Word. And we had, actually two things that went on this past Friday. One, I had the opportunity to fill in for Pastor John Lutz. He's the pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. And Pastor Lutz was unable to be in the studio this past Friday. He asked me to fill in. I filled in for him in the past. He's filled in for me. And so I was on at 1 o'clock from 1 o'clock until 1:30. And we were talking about socialism in light of the Bible. We were looking at a couple of passages in the scriptures and whether or not they teach socialism. And I'm not going to go through all that right now, but you can find that on our website, livewithpastoral.com. It's there now. And then when we went to our program at 1:30, I was joined with a special guest, Jim Simpson, author of Who Was Karl Marx? And so we talked about Karl Marx, some of the other movers and shakers in the early days formulating what became known as communism, also Marxism and socialism, different terminology. It's all the same thing. And we were looking at a number of things there, bringing it up to current times and also touching on some things that we can do to help counter what's happening in the world and even in our own country. And we had a good program with Jim Simpson, and I encourage you to check that out online at livewithpastoral.com. You can follow the link if you'd like to get a hold of his book. Let me highly recommend Jim Simpson's book, Who Was Karl Marx? That's Who Was Karl Marx. It's easy to read. A lot of good information there. I guarantee if you read that and look at the quotes of some of these people who formulated what has become communism and socialism of today, you will have a better understanding of what we're facing here. And you'll also know beyond any shadow of a doubt that a true born-again believer, somebody who believes the Bible, who wants to follow God's word and put God first in their life, is not going to be able to be a backer or a follower or a supporter of socialism, communism, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, all these groups, because of the godless, satanic background that they have. And so let me encourage you to check that out. We're going to try and have Jim Simpson on with us again, maybe another month or so, and we're going to spend some more time hopefully talking about what we can do to fight back. I know the Lord is coming soon, and we may touch on some of those things tonight, amongst other things, but I know the Lord is coming soon. We don't know when he's going to come. He could come before the year is out. He could come before the program is out, or he may not be coming for another few years. We don't know, but we are called to be salt and light. We are called to make a difference in the world around us while we're waiting. We're not just waiting, twiddling our thumbs. We're supposed to be busy doing something. As Paul told Philemon, he talked about this in our church today in Philemon. There's only one chapter in verse 6. He said that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. We want the communication of our faith that we have to be effectual. And so there's ways that we can do that. Well, let me get on to some other things here, too, so we can get to our callers. We've got some callers waiting for us, and we'll be getting to them in a moment. Here again, that phone number, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. I want to let you know, too, that this coming Friday, we are hoping to have Laverne Gore. She's candidate for Congress, the U.S. House of Representatives, the 11th District, Ohio's 11th District. For those of you who have been following this, those of you who are in the 11th District in particular, the 11th District currently has no representative. Marcia Fudge was the representative. She became the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, so she has left the position that she was in, and so, of course, the 11th District is without a representative, and so they had a primary back in August, and it came down to Chantel Brown and Laverne Gore. And of course, Chantel Brown on the Democrat side, and she is certainly not pro-life. She is not for apparently not for securing the southern borders. Oh, number of other things. In fact, let me recommend that you go to ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. And you can see a voter guide there comparing the positions between Chantel Brown and Laverne Gore. Laverne Gore is pro-life. She wants to secure the southern borders. She does not believe that critical race theory should be taught in our schools, and we'll be talking about some of those things. I am sure she would reject the calls of the Attorney General to have the FBI class parents that speak up at school board meetings as domestic terrorists. What a travesty that is, of course. And so we're hoping and looking forward to having Laverne Gore on the radio with us this Friday at 1:30. And we're going to have some other guests coming up on our Friday program here in the next couple of weeks. Felt like a good time to get a number of guests on, talking about some different things. So we'll be talking about that more in the future. And wanted to share something, too, before we get to the callers. And I just wanted to share a passage here in the Old Testament book of Daniel here. And in Daniel chapter 12, verse number 4, it says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And I had seen an article that was looking at a number of things in the world that they're saying indicate that we're in the last days. The article was Top Bible Stories in 2021, Harbingers of His, meaning Christ's, Return. And they hit on a number of things: America's decline and the rise of the World Economic Forum. And again, we've talked about this. That's the coming world economic system, world government system, world religious system, all coming together. America has to decrease so that this globalist-based government can increase. God has prevented it in the past, but now it looks like the time is ripe. Then there's the fear-based world willing to submit to government overreach. If you think masks actually do anything to block the spread of the coronavirus, you are hopelessly ill-informed. You might as well, and you'd have a better chance at it, putting up a chain-link fence to keep the mosquitoes off your porch. The size of the particle versus the size of the openings in your even the best mask that you're going to be wearing is such that it's nothing compared, or there's nothing really there to stop the virus. In fact, even when the virus is on an aerosol particle, the aerosol particles are smaller in diameter than the average pore size of any mask that you're wearing, especially if you're wearing a cloth mask or even an N95. That's a whole other area, but the whole purpose of the mask is to make people afraid, and it's a part of the control effort. And so a fear-based world willing to submit to government overreach, we see that coming. And then escalating birth pangs as creation groans. The Bible says that all of creation groans under the curse, and we see the natural disasters and things that are taking place, and so that's another thing. Then lawlessness and the rise of the spirit of Antichrist, it's mentioned as well. Romans 1, reprobate mind and delusional thinking, and again, that's another thing. Marginalization of Christians, conservatives, and Jews, this is another thing that we see happening. And I would add the one that I read in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, where he talked about knowledge being increased. And I was just kind of curious of that. And there's a number of things talking about how fast the amount of information and knowledge is increasing. And when you look at it on a graph type of a thing, we're in the exponential rise of it. Somebody pointed out that knowledge online, and this is actually going back to 2017, knowledge, they said, let me just back up here, knowledge doubled from the year 100 BC to the year 1700 in a period of about 1800 years. They guesstimate that not the amount of knowledge in the world doubled. And then after that period of 100 BC to 1700 AD, knowledge doubled again in the period of 1700 to 1900, only 2 years. It took 1800 years, the first doubling, and then the second doubling took 200 years. Then from 1900 to 1950, in only 50 years, it doubled again. Then in 1950 to 1970, another 20 years, it doubled yet again. 1970 to 1980, a period of 10 years, it doubled again. In 1988, a period of 8 years, it doubled again. Now, and this is in the late 2017s, they were saying knowledge is doubling every 12 months and predicting. I was unable to find anything online that showed that they've reached this. I don't know that they have, but doubling every 12 months, they were predicting that in the early 2020s, knowledge would be doubling every 12 hours. That's almost unimaginable. The first doubling took 1,800 years. Now it's doubling less than a year, estimating that we're reaching the time where they're estimating it's going to be doubling every 12 hours. That's twice a day, the sum total of human knowledge. And that doesn't mean that all this knowledge is useful. It just doubles. Online information. That's just on your internet, on the web, things like that. Online information doubles every 6 months. Biological information, the things that we know, the things that we're learning, doubles every 18 months. Corporate information, information accumulated by corporations, businesses, doubles every 18 months. The knowledge and information we have in terms of genetics doubles every 18 months. Technical knowledge, they believe, doubles every 18 months. Clinical knowledge, doubling every 18 months. These are just unimaginable rates at which knowledge is increasing, and it's a sign of the times. I mean, as Daniel said, knowledge would be increased. He said that the book of Daniel was shut up. He said, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And I didn't touch on the to and fro, but when my dad was growing up, his parents still used horses and mules for farming and transportation. My dad traveled with I'm not terribly old. I'm 61 years old. And my dad, who was born in the 1920s, he grew up using horse and mules to farm with and a horse and buggy to move around in time to time. And that's just out here in northeastern Ohio. It's not out in the middle of Appalachia somewhere. His parents, my grandfather, my grandmother, they grew up in the horse and buggy era. They were born in the late 1800s, and for most of their life, they used horse and buggy. And I saw some old pictures of my grandfather having an old, looked like an old Model T type truck or something like that, and then later a 1940s era car. Don't know what the model was, but they still were operating the farm using horses and mules. I remember the mules that my dad farmed with were in our barn when I was a kid. He'd stopped farming with them by that time, but we still had the buggy. We still had a lot of the farm equipment that was horse-drawn or mule-drawn. And I even have a picture of myself and my older brother with my dad on a buggy with a mule, or a horse rather, that was pulling it. And that was when I was just a little kid in the 60s, and right here in northeastern Ohio. So we're not that far removed, but think about this. Up until recently, how did people get around? Well, it was horse, buggy, mule, whatever, and we're on foot. It took you a while to get from place to place, but in the last half of the 20th century, especially with the building of the interstate highway system and the advances in transportation, not only automobiles and buses and trucks and trains and airplanes and things, it reached the point where instead of taking days, if not weeks, to travel from, say, here to Colorado, a trip that I would make when I was in college out there, I could drive it in 24 hours. And then, of course, you can get into an airplane and fly it in a couple of hours. You take longer at the airport waiting for your flight than it takes to fly out there. And then my dad, when he served at the tail end of World War II, had to get on a transport ship to sail across the Atlantic to eventually get to England and then over to Germany. And then when I was stationed in England, when I was in the Air Force in the 1980s, I got on an airplane in Newark, New Jersey, and we flew, and several hours later, we were there. We didn't have to spend a day or two at sea, or however many days it took my dad to get over. I mean, people are rushing to and fro. I routinely get into my car and take a trip in an hour or less that would have taken my dad when he was a young man, or my grandparents when they were younger, a day or two to take. To get there and back. And I can go there in an hour or so, maybe two. And just unbelievable. We are living in a time when people are rushing to and fro, and knowledge is certainly being increased. And then we see the book of Daniel unfolding before us as never before, not even 100 years ago, 50 years ago. We're understanding things in the book of Daniel more than ever before. We are, as somebody said, in not only in the last days, but the last hours of the last days. And we don't know when the Lord's coming back for us. That's why we need to be ready. That's why we need to know Christ as our Savior. And we need to be living for Him. Well, you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you can join us and stick with us. If you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. And we have got Nancy, who I believe is waiting the longest. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call.
Hi, good evening.
Thank you. Good evening to you. I had a different question I was going to ask you about, but I wanted to ask you briefly with your discussion about knowledge. Currently, they're saying it doubles every 12 hours.
That's what that is estimated by early 1920s, 2021, 22 time frame. It would be doubling every 12 hours or there are even more, perhaps, or
well,
faster, I should say.
How do you say that this goes along with 1 Corinthians 13:8, charity never faileth, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, and then it says, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away, but currently, knowledge seems to be it's definitely increasing. So they're saying knowledge shall vanish away. So can you explain? That seems to be a little inconsistent.
Well, that's a different type of knowledge that they're talking about there, because if you look for it at the beginning of the chapter, he says in chapter 13 there, verse 1, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Let me read verse 3 as well. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And he's talking here, when you look at this in the context, not only chapter 13, but chapter 12, leading into chapter 13, chapter 12 starts out saying in verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. And he goes on discussing things, verse 4, now diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. And He begins discussing how the gifts are used and the manifestations of them that comes by the Spirit. But notice verse 8 here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And he's listing these spiritual gifts that are given. And so when we go into chapter 13, it's in the context of spiritual gifts, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels. See, he's talking about a spiritual gift. Verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith, he's talking about the gift of faith. Now, we all have to have faith, obviously, in order to believe, but some people are just gifted. They just seem to have a faith that goes beyond what most people have to trust God for things. And he's saying that these spiritual gifts that he's talking about here, without charity, basically is meaningless. Now, let me back up on the word charity for a minute. If somebody is looking at a modern version of the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 13, they're not going to see the word charity. They're going to see the word love. And it's unfortunate. One of the biggest lies, one of the most misleading things that's out there is that these modern versions help you to understand Scripture better. Nothing can be further from the truth. If you've got a Bible that says love instead of charity, you're not going to fully understand what he's talking about here, because charity is love. That's true, but it's a type of love. Charity is a type of love, and he goes on to describe it a little further there. Charity, he says in verse 4, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. And I'll stop right there for the moment, and we'll get back to the part where your question was. Charity is a type of love where you see somebody that has need and your heart goes out to them, move with compassion, move with love. You seek to minister to their need. And, you know, charity has become devalued as a word today. It's synonymous with handouts or welfare.
Yes.
But the reason for the word charity here is it's not merely love. It's the type of love that you have for somebody that you see their need and you want to help them. You want to reach out to them. You want to comfort them in some way, supply something that they have.
Yeah, would you say that's agape love?
It's a type of that. That's true. But even when we're looking at agape love, there's variations on that as well. In fact, that may be the word that's used here, actually. I believe it's agape that's used. It's translated charity. So it's very important that your Bible says charity so that you understand the type of love that's being used here, the love that cares and wants to help and reach out to minister to the needs of others. And so that's where it became, you know, devalued as handout or charity, welfare, because it's, you know, taking care of somebody. But so when he goes through all that, he's talking about spiritual gifts don't matter if you don't care and have compassion on others. And so the prophecies, the tongues, the knowledge, all that can cease, can vanish, can go away, but charity is something that will always be there. And so he's not talking about knowledge, knowing things. He's talking about a spiritual gift of knowledge where God is making people aware of things. And in fact, if you look at it this way too, you could also look at it by saying, well, you know, you forget things. Knowledge vanishes away, but charity never faileth. But he's talking more about these spiritual things, the spiritual gifts that were talked about in chapter 12. And in fact, one of the ways we know he's talking about spiritual gifts too is that In chapter 14, where it says, starts out in verse 1, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. And then he goes on to talk more about spiritual gifts. So it's the whole context. Talking about spiritual gift of knowledge. And as we receive the Word of God, as we study the Word of God, the revealed Word of God now provides knowledge. You don't so much need a spiritual gift of knowledge anymore, but charity never faileth. So hopefully that helps you out, Nancy. All right.
Thank you
very much. All right. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and glad to have you with us here tonight. Hope you'll be able to stay with us. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to have you on the program here this evening. And again, just a reminder, you can find out more about us live with pastoral.com. That's live with pastoral.com. And you can also find out about our church, our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and certainly invite you to come out and visit us sometime if you're looking for a church in the area that preaches the Word of God, sticks with the King James Bible, and is not afraid to touch on the issues of the day, including the political issues. It's sad that a lot of churches won't talk about what's happening in the world around them sometimes, but we need to know what's happening. We're called to be salt and light in the world. If you don't know what's going on, how can you train your people to be able to address those issues? Also wanted to mention something, too, to make as a matter of prayer. There are 17 missionaries or church workers, Christian aid workers that have been kidnapped in Haiti. 16 are U.S. citizens. One is a Canadian citizen. There's men. There's women. There's children. They're from the Ohio-based Christian Aid Ministries. And there was a message that got out from one of the people that said that they were being to pray. They were taken captive, and they had their driver, and they didn't know where they were being taken. So do pray for that. I'm sure more information will be coming out on this. This is something that was just developing today, I believe. Let's see here. The statement from the Christian Aid Ministries is, join us in praying for those who are being held hostage, the kidnappers, and the families, friends, and churches of those affected. As an organization, we commit the situation to God and trust Him to see us through. And here's the one statement that got out on a social media platform. One of the abducted Americans posted a message saying, please pray for us. We are being held hostage. They kidnapped our driver. Pray, pray, pray. We don't know where they are taking us. And there has been a problem with this in Haiti. This is a dangerous area to go in. Remember earlier this summer, I believe it was, the president of Haiti was assassinated. And of course, it's a nation that's been a little island nation there that has been racked with natural disasters, earthquakes, hurricanes, different things. And there's gang rule on the streets of much of the country, and kidnappings up, violence is up. Missionaries have been targeted in several areas of the country. In the last the first 8 months. Well, what are we at? We're at the 10th month now, in the 10th month. But in the first 8 months, that'd be January through August of 2021, they had 300 kidnapping victims reported to the Haitian police. In all of 2020, they only had 234. And so you can see that it's up. The year's not over yet. This 300 now is at least 317, and it's probably larger than that. So pray for those that are in Haiti. Pray for that country, one of the most impoverished countries in the world for a long time. I think it still holds the record, though Venezuela may now, thanks to the collapse that communism has brought to the country. Venezuela, which was once the wealthiest nation in South and Central America, is now one of the poorest nations. They're probably soon going to be running, giving Haiti a run for the money and competing for who's the poorest, most impoverished nation in the Western Hemisphere. But pray for them, and pray for people that are working and doing the work for the Lord all over the world, not just here in Haiti. It can be dangerous work, but people go where God has directed them to go. And we're in the Lord's service. He never promised us that we would be out of danger or not working in a place that's hazardous. And oftentimes he said we would be in danger. And so pray for the people in Haiti. Pray for these 17 missionaries. Pray for God's people everywhere. I just thinking about this, talking about thinking of what's in Canada. Or I'm sorry, not in Canada, but in China, North Korea, parts of the Muslim world, and things where Christians are suffering and in danger their very lives. And yet here in America and Canada, we think if somebody looks at us cross, we're suffering terrible persecution. Well, pray for God's people. All right. Well, our phone number again, as I said, is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Find us online at livewithpastoral.com. We have Terry, who's waiting patiently for us here. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening. Welcome.
Boy, there's a lot of sad things going on in that country, Haiti.
Oh, you know, when you think about it, it's such a spiritual, a spiritually dark place. When you think about the hold that witchcraft in the form of voodoo and also other false religions have on that nation, it's just unbelievable when you see the amount of poverty and suffering that's going on and so close to the United States.
Right, and the Dominican Republic is right there, right beside it.
Yeah, and not near as bad a situation as Haiti. They both share the same island. What is that? The island of Hispaniola, I believe it is. But makes it, you know, and think about this. Just thought of this. How in the world did 60,000 Haitians, one of the most impoverished nations in the world, manage to go from Haiti to Mexico, and now they're on foot, supposedly, or in some cases riding in buses, coming up on our southern border, waiting to get into the United States and join the other thousands of Haitians that are there? Where'd they get the money? Who did this, and why did they go to Mexico first? Why didn't they stay in Mexico? You know, when you look at refugee status, they're supposed to go the first country that can welcome them in, and Mexico's considered a country that's welcoming to refugees. Under international law, they should be in Mexico, staying in Mexico. But how'd they get there? Nobody seems to want to talk about that, do they? At any rate.
I was going to mention that you mentioned on Friday, too, and this is something that was kind of strange. You were talking on Friday about Karl Marx.
Right.
And I was looking up Karl Marx a bit and learned a little bit about him. They mentioned Karl Marx at the church that I go to today.
Mm-hmm.
Karl Marx. I thought that was strange.
Well, and you know, the interesting thing with Karl Marx, and again, for those who weren't listening earlier, and I understand we had a transmitter problem earlier and we were off for a little bit, not sure exactly where that came in with what we were talking about, but I had James Simpson, on the radio with me this past Friday afternoon and our Friday program at 1:30, and we were talking about his book, Who is Karl Marx? And you can find that on our website at livewithpastoral.com. Some information about that. Listen to the program and a link to where you can get the book. But he mentions in there, Karl Marx actually come from a Jewish background, but he was actually raised in a Christian home. When I say Christian, I'm not necessarily mean born again, but he was raised in a Christian home, he actually wrote something when he was younger, when he was in school, talking about Christ and different things. But when he got out of school, he completely rejected Christianity. He completely rejected God. Simpson has in his book a poem that Karl Marx wrote, which is eerily similar to the things that Lucifer said when he said, "I will be like the Most High." Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And so
he started when he was 6 years old or something like that.
Yeah. So basically, he was while he was in school, he towed the line in terms of, you know, at least a pretense of reading the Bible and talking about Christ. But as soon as he got out on his own, he rebelled, and God turned him over to a reprobate mind, and he was a horrible, horrible individual on a personal level. You know, he didn't come from a poor working class background. He came from money. He came from a wealthy, affluent background. Probably never went into a factory in his entire life. Probably never set foot on a farm. Completely unacquainted with actual manual labor himself. And yet, he was going to liberate the masses. Well, actually, I agree with what some people have said. He was probably more interested in liberating himself from his massive debt than he was in liberating the masses from capitalistic oppression.
Well, you know, just simple fact that he was baptized as a Catholic and a Lutheran.
Lutheran.
Rather than a Catholic. But, you know, what's it?
Well, that's because he was in Germany, I believe, so.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a couple other things I was going to bring up real quick.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that you were talking about different scriptures, different Bibles, and one thing that I found, every time I look up something on the internet, the first thing that comes up is the NIV.
Well, and, you know, that... That's for the longest time probably been one of the most common non-King James versions that you would find. But in a lot of circles, the ESV, the English Standard Version, and then there's some other ones. I think the CEV, the Contemporary English Version, but I think the English Standard Version and some different ones are starting to displace the New International Version. But the interesting thing is the King James Bible is still the most published, the most sold, the most bought, the most distributed, and the most read of all the variant English versions out there that you can find.
Yeah. Well, the one scripture that in the NIV that kind of troubled me, and I don't know why they did this, but in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, in the NIV it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God." And they took the word Christ out. And why did they do that? That doesn't make no sense.
Well, and
salvation.
Yeah, and you know, that takes away from the deity of Christ, and right. See that what it does is it reflects some errors that crept into the scriptures. Origen in Alexandria, Egypt, he is one of the ones who corrupted the Bible early on, and what he did is he basically rejected the deity of Christ. And so in his school, he would basically alter portions of the scriptures. His students would copy it with the alterations. Well, his influence led to what became known as the Sinaiticus. It was found literally in the rubbish in a monastery in the Sinai Peninsula. It was in the rubbish because they considered it unreliable. And also the Vaticanus, which was sitting largely unused in the Vatican Library because it wasn't considered that reliable. And these two books were used by, amongst others, Westcott and Hort in the late 1800s to rewrite the Bible, because Westcott and Hort, like Origen many centuries before, you know, over about nearly 1700 years or so before, Origen and Westcott and Hort all rejected the idea of the deity of Christ. So Westcott and Hort wanted a Bible to replace the King James Version, and they also wanted a Bible that, amongst other things, would downplay the deity of Christ. They knew they could not eliminate it completely, so they began putting little things in, and one of the things that they did is take Christ out here, replace it with God. But when you read Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." It reminds us of who Jesus is. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior, the one who died on the cross, shed his blood, and was buried and rose again victorious over sin and death. And then the sentence doesn't end there. Unfortunately, modern versions oftentimes break these complex sentences up into shorter sentences, and then that also dilutes the meaning and actually sometimes makes it almost impossible to understand. But these longer sentences you find in the King James reflect what it was like in the original languages. And these were sentences that are kind of complex, but they're all related, interlocking statements. And so I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ with a colon. And then "for it," referring to the gospel of Christ, "is the power of God unto salvation." And so this ties in Christ with God and how Christ as God in the flesh is instrumental in providing our salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So there's a removal of the name Christ there, which takes away the idea that Jesus is God in the flesh, and it's through the power of God, because Jesus is God in the flesh, that he was able to lay down his life, and he had the power to take it up again. And what he accomplished on the cross is the power of God, because Jesus Christ is God. And so as a consequence, when you take Christ out, it dilutes the deity of Christ in the scripture. So That's my short answer.
And you brought up charity. Charity, charity is reaching out to the people that need the truth.
Right.
The truth.
Out of compassion. Out of compassion.
Right. Not just feeding them physically, but spiritually.
Spiritually, right, right.
That's charity. That's love.
Yeah. When we look at these missionaries down in Haiti, people who are doing that, they're going down there not for money. They're going down there out of compassion, charity. Right. They have a love for the people, and they want to minister to the needs of these people. That's what charity is.
That's right.
Love that gives, I guess you could say.
And if I still got a minute, there's one other thing I've been meaning to
bring up. Sure, sure. And I see I got another caller on the board as well, but go ahead.
Well, one thing I've been meaning to bring up on several occasions, but somehow it slips. But what's your intake on sola scriptura?
Meaning scripture only, basically, right?
Yeah.
Sola scriptura, only the scriptures. Well, yeah, that's our position. The scripture, this is a position that Baptists have held since the first century. The scripture is the sole source of spiritual knowledge and information, because we don't accept extra biblical revelation, extra biblical writings. We don't have the magisterium and the pronouncements of the church leaders that give us things that are on par with the written scripture. We don't have prophets today that are giving us scripture that is on par with what we have written in the Bible from the books of Genesis to Revelation. We look to the scripture as a sole source. That's our source of information. That's our source of belief and practice. It's in the scriptures. And of course, we look to God to help us to understand it, and he does raise up teachers and things to help understand it. But yeah, so just the scripture.
Faith alone.
Through Christ
alone.
Yeah.
And grace alone.
Yeah. And all of that is in the scriptures. So we follow the scriptures as our sole source of faith and practice. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I know you have another caller. So
yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate that, Terry. I'm sure we'll be talking again. Thanks so much for the call. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Mark calling in tonight. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi.
Hey, I've called in several times in the past few months about a ministry that wants to buy the property that I rent on.
Yes, sir.
And unfortunately, a month ago, I started going to a very good church in town here. They've had dealings with this ministry. I've seen things online also in the past month. This ministry is not solid. The president of the ministry is also the pastor of a church. There's video of him from Sunday, May 26th, where he is reading like one or two pages of what he says the Lord told him. And he closes it by saying, "Thus saith the Lord." He literally believes he can hear the voice of God. So I'm asking for prayer. And this is not just my opinion. It's also what the pastors of the church I go to have said. They've had to minister to people that have left this church, affiliated with this ministry. I'm asking for prayer. Hate to reverse it, but that God would prevent this ministry from buying this property where I rent, because if they turn it into a place where women getting out of prison come here for transition back into society, it'll be horrible, because they will be subjected to very unbiblical, wacky, weird, demonic. I will say that word. I mean that word, demonic influence, because of the off-base, unbiblical. The guy, 2-hour, 45-minute service a couple of weeks ago, I don't even Bible at all.
Yeah, you're kind of breaking up there a little bit on your call.
So I'm just asking for prayer that God would intervene and stop this ministry from buying this place.
And it's a shame to hear that, because it seemed like it had a lot of promise, but unfortunately, this is what happens sometimes. But it's thankful that you're able to find this out before it happened. And so that gives people an opportunity to pray, and pray that God will bring, open the eyes of the people who are involved, because, you know, this is a dangerous thing. When you begin to look to something, and this is actually kind of fortuitous that Terry asked about sola scriptura, going to the Bible and the Bible alone, when you look at when people start having extra biblical revelations, you know, what seems to happen a lot, and I've noticed this over the years, people begin to say, well, all scripture's equal, and since this guy's speaking, you know, thus saith the Lord, it's scriptural, it's scripture, yeah. and it's equal to the written scripture that we already have. All scripture's equal, but then those pronouncements tend to become a little more equal than the others, don't they?
Yes. Yeah, and I know that personally because 40 years ago I was involved in a cult.
Exactly.
And the leader claimed that, you know, they could speak for God, basically.
Well, and that is a classic sign of a cult. When people begin to get extra biblical revelations, you know, look what happened, the origins of the Mormons, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You had Joseph Smith who claimed that he had extra biblical revelations. He had his golden plates in reformed. What did he say? They were reformed Egyptian or something like that. And he had, depending on which version you listen to, magic peepstones or magic spectacles. And he went behind a curtain, and he was only able to read them. Nobody else saw him. He'd put his magic spectacles on or hold up the magic peepstone and look at them and decipher them, and then he read it from behind the curtain, and then his assistant on the other side of the curtain wrote down what he said. And then we have the point now where those pronouncements in the Book of Mormon supersedes the written word of God of the Old and New Testaments. And so when there's an error in the Book of Mormon that, or something that contradicts, I should say, the Bible, well, they go with the Book of Mormon because it came later. And then the Doctrine and Covenants and the Pearl of Great Price, if they contradict the Book of Mormon, well, they came later, so they're more authoritative. And then the current pronouncements, whoever the current prophet and leader is, he can say things that are contrary to that. But you know, that's no different than what Muhammad did when he gave us the Quran and all
can
of
I
that.
Say one quick thing?
Yes.
Please pray for the church that is pastored by the president of this ministry. There's 64 children that go to it.
Right.
64 children. The children always get hurt the worst when their parents are involved in unbiblical things.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, Mark. And again, sad to hear about the falling through with that. And we pray that God will just bring something out of this. It'll be a help and a benefit and a blessing. And to pray for Mark down there in Marysville. The idea was to provide like a halfway home for women getting out of prison there, state penitentiary, I believe, in Marysville. Well, anyway, don't give up. Don't give up hope. Keep looking to Jesus. Trust God. And thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com.